And now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. This portion of the show is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Rancho Leonero, where your wildest Baja dreams come true. Shimano Rods and Reels. Fish with the best. Shimano. Here we go. Another great hour of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. Here's Pete Gray, Rock God Rick Mexa, and Corey Sandin.
And welcome back. Hour number two, Let's Talk Hookup, right here on the Let's Talk Hookup app and the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. Pete Gray here with Rock God Rick Mexa and the world headquarters of Let's Talk Hookup, right here overlooking the San Diego Landings in Point Loma. And we have a couple great guests. Danny Wade, Brian Moeller, surface iron yellowtail experts is what I would say they are. They know every style of it, right?
No, no doubt, man.
It's like, ask them, go to catch a bluefin now.
Calico bass is by catch. Yeah. You know what I mean? although I've seen Danny hanging on to some pretty big calico bass in the days, eating the lure when they're biting
him. Yeah, he's smiling.
I'll tell you what. I've caught more big fish right here in Point Loma than anywhere else I've ever fished. And I've been to Cedros, Bonitas, and Canoas, and anywhere you can think of. There are some monster fish.
Monster
fish
live right here.
Kelp right here. Yeah, for sure.
I got a 13 at home sitting on the wall.
Oh, come on.
That's pretty cool.
That you caught in Point Loma?
Yeah.
Holy man.
That's a real one. Well, as you can hear, we got a great show going on today. So much to cover and so much fun stuff, man. If you want to join us, we got plenty of time for you here in the second hour. Give us a call at 213-432-1090. Again, 213-432-1090. That's how you reach us here on Let's Talk Hookup. Or send us a text. Pete and I were talking during the show, man, during the break. We have so many great texts coming through, and we're going to be reading them here in the second hour. So please join us. You got a great text, send it through. We'd love to hear from you. Also, giving away such a killer prize, if you didn't hear at the beginning of the show today, one lucky caller or texter at the end of today's show is going to be winning a $300 gift certificate to CostaDelMar.com. Good for anything you want. Virtually any pair of glasses. I don't know that they make a pair of glasses that's over that amount. So basically good for anything that Costa makes, and just a really, really cool prize. And we're so fortunate and so proud to get to be part of the Costa Del Mar family, and a great prize for one of our lucky callers.
And I might add, too, that if you are the winner today, go to the Bart Hall show today. Go to the Costa booth and pick out your favorite style and then send it in and get the glasses.
That's the best part. Yeah, you can go down there and see Allison or see anybody on the team there, and they'll go through with you and figure out what frame fits your noggin the best. And then they'll help you figure out what lens you need, and then boom, away you go. You got a perfect pair of glasses for you.
Exactly.
Yeah, pretty darn cool. Again, if you want to get through, 213-432-1090. We're going to continue with our catch report. Talk to the surf guru. Gundy Gunderson is on the line. Good morning, Gundy.
How's it going, gents?
What's up, buddy?
Great.
Good show, man. I tell you what, calico bass do bite the surface iron off the Point Loma kelp. That's a special place, man.
Yeah.
Big old fat hogs come out of that kelp in that current. It's something. All right, well, I'm trying to get fired up because we had a little hiccup here in the surf. 57-degree water. We had a little bit of a dump, so we had somewhat of a slowdown, but there's still some bright spots. You know, hook, line, sinker reported solid barred perch fishing up there, mostly 6 to 10-inch fish. They're fishing west of the harbor, you know, Refugio out there, and they're also getting some fish Carpinteria down towards Ventura and Oxnard. 6 to 10-inch fish with a few kickers, you know, a little better. And they did have a 7-pound striped bass at the Ventura River mouth, and that's several fish we reported from that spot, striped bass. Big fish reported a little bit of small perch on Bolsa Chica, but the brighter spot was some legal halibut showing inside the harbor. That shoreline drive, Cherry Beach area was good, and it's kind of the same deal. Not a lot of bites, but some decent fish, 32-inch fish, 36-inch fish taken on the Lucky Craft. Hogan's reported, interesting here, a pick on some calico bass inside of Seal Rock there. The long rodders been getting them on squid, fish to 4 pounds. They're glued to the bottom, no doubt, not real active, but if you put that bait right in front of their mug, they'll eat it. So, you know, water temp was the thing this week. And then finally, Pacific Coast reported more fish in the lagoons, smaller fish, 23 to 28 inch, but the guys are getting them on the lures now. The Kytex swim baits seem to be one of the better lures. And then in Mission Bay, Guys drifting sardines are finding some of those quality halibut, 36, 34-inch fish reported there. And up and down the coast, the guys reported a lot of sardines. So you could see where that sardine pattern drifting the bays, you know, the mouths of the bay, that kind of thing where you're going to find some halibut on those sardines.
That's good dope, man.
Yeah.
And like you say, you got to pick your spots, but, you know, even in chilly weather, there's always bright spots to be had, and certainly sounds like you've outlined a few of them, Gundy, some good info, and, man, appreciate you always compiling such a great report. That's the thing I like about Gundy's report is even when it's tough fishing, whether you'll find the bright spots or at least get us some tip to get us dialed in for what it is right again.
Yeah. I got to tell you my quick Fred Hall story.
Please.
From 20-plus years ago. I always laugh at it. But Turner's there used to have that old swimming pool, and it was piles full of lures and discounted lures and discontinued and, you know, old Bagley's, balsa wood, crankbaits, all kinds of. And everyone's feeding in there, and everyone's like, it's the same old stuff. And so my buddy, like, jumps over the edge of the pool, goes right into it, and starts turning over all the lures, and it was like throwing bait again, you know? They chummed it, right? That was the funniest scene ever. That's the beauty of that thing.
Oh, yeah. Always
a lot of Fred Hall memories, no doubt.
Yeah. Fun. It's always something.
All right, gentlemen, good show, and I'll keep listening.
Great to hear you.
Thanks, Gundy.
Gundy, thanks a lot for
appreciate that. That's going to wrap up our catch for today. Hey, reminder, the 2023 CCA Sport Fishing Calendar is here, and this year's calendar includes fantastic fishing photos, all the important fishing dates. They got daily tide charts, tips and techniques, and fishing regulations. You can pick up your calendar at all the tackle stores, all the major landings, and at all Turner's Outdoorsman locations, or you can order your calendar online at surffishtackle.com.
I also might add that our Katmai Lodge trip in July has been sold out for months. We just had four spots open
right
up. Four spots are open. And you want to go fishing with Rock Cod Rick and Harold Davis? July 15th through 22, one of the ultimate places in the world to go fishing. I can promise you that.
Spectacular.
It is.
Cannot wait.
Nothing
yep
like it. So if you wanted to go, you want to go, here's your opportunity this summer. Katmai.com. Check it out. Call Charmel. Grab that spot. But it's four spots opened up on our July 15th through 22, which is absolute prime time for all, you know, basically you're going to catch king salmon. You're going to catch a ton of sockeye salmon. Take home a 50-pound box of sockeye.
You're going to fight chums until your arms fall off.
Yeah, yeah.
So cool.
And have chance. I don't know if it's pinky or not, but big, giant rainbow trout.
We did big graylings and trout last time.
Yeah,
we did the
yeah,
same
yeah
time of year.
If bears, moose.
If you're on the fence about going, do not call me because I will for sure put you over the edge.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
I say that in fun.
Yeah.
If you do have questions, you think about going,
well,
man, please call me.
Yeah,
like I'd be happy to tell you about my experience. And that's coming from a guy that was not a experienced fly fisherman. I had never fished any interior freshwater fishing at all before. They had rad spinning tackle. Anybody could do it, novice to expert. It's a really, really cool trip. If you're thinking about going or got questions, man, call me. I'd be happy
yeah
to talk to you. But be careful, because I will for sure,
yeah,
you will go when you hear how cool that trip is. It's really, really fun.
All the details are at letstalkhookup.com on the trips page. All the details for that trip and phone numbers and all that stuff. Also, now up on our trips page are our Liberty 2-day limited load trips. August, I couldn't believe. Normally we have
yeah, right?
September.
How
we
cool
got
is
August
that, dude?
Trip.
Yeah.
August and October, 2-day trips. I know the August trip has already had a lot of action. We just announced it yesterday, and it's already, I think, half sold out. So if you want to go on either one of those trips, they're very reasonably priced, include all the food, everything else. Check out the Let's Talk Hookup page, letstalkhookup.com. Go to the trips page, and all our trips are detailed right there.
Yeah. Limited 25 passengers, meals, permits, everything included. Like,
yeah,
they're really fun trips.
Oh, yeah.
And like you say, the prime
super
is the
popular
prime time, no doubt.
Yeah, definitely. Let's jump into the phone. Some very patient callers been waiting to talk to Danny and Brian, so let's do it.
Robert from Canyon Country is up next here on Let's Talk Hookup. Robert, thanks for hanging in there with us.
No problem. So the expert on yellowtail, what color lure, first of all? And I've been going on boats and seeing these rods with the guides wrapping around underneath, and I was thinking about wrapping a rail rod. Does that make a difference? Does it keep it? Does it eliminate some of the side flip over? And just wanted to ask, when is the show at Long Beach, and will you guys be there?
Great questions.
Well, you guys got to handle who's going to
yeah,
be in
no
Long
problem
Beach.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah, yeah. Go ahead, Danny.
But I won't. But as far as the color of the jig, I really don't care. As long as it works properly,
as long as
it swims properly and they want to bite it. You know, I mean, if you go back to when these things were first made back in the 50s, they were all nothing but aluminum. And those fish bite them just fine. And if you look at guys, oh, my favorite jig, it's got no paint left. So the fish really
don't care. So color doesn't matter.
The fish don't care.
Yeah, okay.
I use brighter colors so I can see it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, what do you use, Brian?
His jigs.
His jigs. Whatever he says to use, right?
Yeah, all right. I mean, it doesn't really matter in all
the
honesty.
Color.
Yeah. So, some days it might, but more often than not, it's more about your retrieve. It's about how you pay attention to the way that jig's swimming.
Oh, that thing's swimming just right.
Yeah, and if you don't have it swimming just right, you're wasting your time, and it doesn't matter what color it is. So.
Yeah. How do you make a jig swim right?
Practice.
And when in doubt, practice.
Just watching. And what is a right swimming jig? What's it look like?
It'll depend on the current. It depends on everything. But to make it easy, you avoid anything that kind of looks like a figure eight.
Mm-hmm.
So a decent lure will have more of a serpentine kind of look to it. So instead of that figure eight rolling around, it's cutting hard back
okay.
and forth. It's got to roll at some point in time, just nature of the beast.
Sure.
But and then as, you know, it does it four or five or six times, at some point in time it's going to kick way out to the side and then come back in. That's the trigger. That's what makes them bite.
Ah.
The more it's a letter Z and the less it's a better S, the better.
Right.
You know, like it's like Danny said, it's always going to roll. That's part of it. But if it's swimming and it's making the shape of a Z where it's cutting and then cutting again and then cutting again and cutting, you know, like hard line versus an S where it's just kind of rolling one side to the other.
Changing your speed of your retrieve?
Again, that all depends on the current. You know, sometimes it's very steady. As a rule, though, you know, you're on the end of your cast when it hits the water, you got to wind it a tiny bit faster then. And then as you get to the boat, you know, especially in that 100 feet, you got to slow down because the spool is getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
Because you're with every retrieve,
right,
you're retrieving
right,
more line as
right.
the spool gets bigger.
That's
a good point.
Again, getting back to this, what I call kicking out, and I got that term from Taddy and Bill Shimizu. Taddy, who, again, I knew him, I loved the man. But he had a sly sense of humor, and so he had to pay attention to what he was saying. But he told me, he said, you know, when you, and the best way to look at it is watch, you know, whether it be Discovery, National Geographic, any of Michael Folk's stuff, a spot of bait. You got sardines, anchovies, whatever they are. The ones on the outside are trying to get to the inside to be protected. The ones inside are being pushed outside.
Ah.
And you watch those tuna, yellowtail, whatever they are, they don't jet right through the middle of that school. They pick them off on the side.
Oh.
And when that bait, when your lure kicks off.
That's the one.
So the bite happens.
That's the one.
That's
and
the
that's
bite.
The reason for the bite. And,
yeah.
that, and you got to have it.
So as far as the shows this year, we're fortunate that we have a lot of shows coming up.
Yeah.
Of course, the last day of the Bart Hall Show coming up today at the Del Mar Fairgrounds. Then March 2nd through the 5th is the PCS show in Costa Mesa, and that's going to be a great show. Looking forward to that, Bill. We'll have actually
next weekend,
Saturday,
right.
We're going to have Bill DePriest and Mike Bond in the world headquarters right here next Saturday talking about the PCS show. So that'll be great. That's March 2nd through the 5th. And then right after that, March 19th, Day at the Docks
yeah.
is back after a two or three year hiatus there. So Day at the Docks right here at the San Diego Landings in Point Loma. And then the Bart Hall show will be on March 29th through April 2nd at the Long Beach Convention Center.
Yeah,
so that'll be a Long Beach show for Bart Hall. So a lot of good shows coming up here in the next month.
Yeah, we got a lot to look forward to, no doubt about it.
For sure. Hey, thanks a lot for the phone call this morning.
I had a great text come through. This one was from all the way in Prosper, Texas. It's from Ernie. So my question is for Danny. I've heard it's a good thing to use wire when you're rigging jigs. Could you explain how you do it, why you do it, and when you shouldn't? That's from Ernie in Prosper, Texas.
When you shouldn't is when they don't want it, for lack of a better explanation. The reason you do is because it's when you put a loop in the end of your wire, single strand wire, mind you, and it creates somewhat of a U-joint effect. So the wire and the ring of the jig are never stationary, and they're never tied flat to it.
Uh-huh.
So the ring, the loop in the wire with a haywire twist always stays open.
Uh-huh.
And there's also...
Like pivots easier?
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's the same idea. You see the guy come into your shop, Rick, and he takes this jig and he starts spinning it around like that, you know. Well, it's kind of off of that. But it started back when surface irons were first coming out because the monofilaments were very hard and stiff. And that's when guys started using Beecham wire because it was readily available. And it would free the lure up. So that's what you do it for. I use it mainly on candy bars of any variety. True candy bars, the ones mm-hmm. the Mannings made. And I especially do it on those and when the current's slack.
Okay. What about tying a loop knot in your monofilament?
You can, but if you don't pay attention to it, sometimes the knot breaks because of the friction against the rubbing back.
Would that be a similar
thing? It would be a similar thing.
Yeah.
But the wire is stronger.
Yeah. All right.
And it's much smaller diameter.
Yes.
Yeah. I can't get down with it. I just can't. But I know that a lot of guys use it with a lot
Bob
of...
Bob Fletcher,
with
man.
A lot
that's
of,
all
oh, no, not the wire yeah. thing. Is what, oh, this, wire is thing. Different, like, but kind of on the same thing. I just cannot get down with it because it's not the way that I was raised, whatever. But what about those... I don't even know what the right terminology for them, like the kind of quick clips that guys use.
Yeah,
you know, like where you tie to a heavy clip and you can swoop your lure back and forth. I'm a straight tie guy, always have been, always will be. It's all I like. But, I mean, is that in theory the same kind of idea where it's pivoting on there, or do you just not do it because it's just not right? Like, what's your thought on that?
I haven't looked at it that hard.
Yeah.
I just think the more stuff you put on the end of it, the worse off you are.
Mm-hmm.
Again, you know, like 44-pound wire is small.
Super skinny.
Whereas those clips are big.
Mm-hmm. It's like another jig ring.
I mean, for me, it comes, if I don't need to use wire, I just can tie it on.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's easier, it's you don't have to go through all that. Fortunately, I can spin a piece of wire as fast as I can tie a knot. I've been doing it all my life.
So what's the indication? When is Danny Wade going to all of a sudden, okay, I'm putting wire on?
Slack condition.
Slack tie.
Yeah.
And a lure that you
no
know is going to benefit from.
Yeah. Yeah. The candy
no
bar, the 112 bar swims a little different than your average whatever else you got. It's a little bit slower. It's a little bit wider. And the wire brings it into a little bit more of a control. When the current goes slack, you need something that's still going to have that same kind of action, but you're doing it slower. So you still need that lure to kick back and forth and then kick out. And with less current, it's just harder to make your lure do it. So the wire aids in that.
Okay.
Danny said to me a long time ago that sometimes wire can make a lure that swims decent swim better. And there's times when it doesn't make a damn bit of difference one way or the other. It doesn't necessarily make it. It doesn't make a bad one good, but sometimes it can make a good one better.
Right, and sometimes it can make a good one bad because it overswims.
Okay.
So it gets out of the pattern you're looking for, and it gets a little crazy.
All right.
And it's just you know, I think probably the only two guys that really do anything with wire anymore are me and Alan Fay. I don't know anybody that, you know, most people, they have no idea how to do it. And it's something that you should learn. You know, it's another tool.
Sure.
That, you know, you go to your tackle shop and you buy a spool of wire, a little coil of wire for what, $5?
Yeah, exactly.
44 pound.
Yeah.
Straight wire.
You stay close to whatever the pound test of your monofilament
okay.
is.
Yeah.
So, and wire comes in goofball sizes.
Yeah.
Because it's 44 pound. And you just stick it in your bag.
Yeah.
You know, it's and you buy some little tiny rings of some variety. I don't care if they're silver, pink, purple, whatever. Doesn't matter. The fish don't know it's there. I would highly recommend you don't use swivels because it just adds more stuff on
there. More stuff, yeah. How long of a piece of wire?
That's a good question.
I'm in that 2-foot range.
Two foot? That's a big piece.
And again, you know, I think this is also a Taddy Shimizu thing. Wire makes noise. And it makes a different noise than monofilament makes.
So maybe that's an attractor.
And sometimes I think it has its place.
All right.
Yeah. It may not be all the time, but there are times when you get them up on wire and you know, even the bait guys are barely picking at it. And you stand up in the bow all by yourself, and it's a game on.
Huh. What kind of longevity do you get out of it? Like, how often do you need to change that wire?
Every 3 or 4 fish, maybe.
Okay.
Depends on... Every three or four fish. It can start to coil.
Yeah.
If that's happening. I never, you know, when the day is done, it goes in the trash.
Okay. You don't ever reuse it?
No, no. Well, it's too cheap. Mm-hmm. You know, 25 feet costs you $5.
Right.
Yeah.
All cool. Right. That's good.
Let's
info,
find out
man.
What's
yeah.
biting.
You got it, dude. It's time for that FishDope.com report with Captain Dave Hansen, your saltwater guide. Today, the Catch Report is sponsored by the Fish Pros at Fisherman's Processing in San Diego. The best processing for your fish when your trip returns. Plus, with Fish Pros the market, you can purchase fresh fish. They have smoked and jerkied fish. Their spices, rubs, smoked cheese, tuna burgers, and that poke kit. Stop by their location in Old Town on Taylor Street or order online at fishermansprocessing.com. And be sure to make those reservations by texting them at 619-255-3128. We got the man, Dave Hansen, on the line. Good morning, Dave.
Hey, good morning, Pete, Danny, and Ricky, and Brian. How you guys doing today? Thanks for having me on the show. Danny, I can't believe everything I think of, you're wham, you just answer it. I remember back in the 70s when I first learned how to fish lures, and it was barracuda, 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 barracuda. That's how I learned how to fish lure. I don't know about you, but that was what we learned how to fish the surface iron, and you had to have a little piece of wire. You had to, because we were using those 1X100s, the blue and white ones, and they were small, and those barracuda would inhale it. And if you didn't have that little piece of wire, like a 1 foot piece, you didn't get your lure. They took it from you. And back in those days, it was kind of important to have that little piece of wire. So, but I was going to talk about it, and then there you are talking about right before I go on. So that's pretty rad. And then the braided thing, I was going to talk about that, but let's talk about fishing. Over at Catalina last night, Pete, some of my clients had a phenomenal time hoop netting. It's still really good over there. I know we had a little bit of weather come through, but as far as hoop netting goes, this is the very, very, very best time of the year. The end is always better than the beginning. It always has been, and it always will be. And right now, they are on the crawl. It's very fun fishing, super shallow water. One of my members was over there last night, 25 feet of water. They had limits for two guys, and then they fished past midnight and caught limits again. And they were all done at 1:30 with two-day limits. They had the two-day permits, and they said it was really fun fishing. 25 feet of water, very, very good. Lobsters up to 6 pounds. Pretty good lobster fishing in your harbor down there in San Diego and also up in Dana Point. Lots of action, lots of shorts, really good crawl. And then as far as the fishing goes, that halibut, like Gundy talked about last week, a couple of our members had pretty good, decent halibut fishing in between the weather. And that's it right now. This time of year, it's all about fishing in between the weather, and there's never not a good time to go fishing. And that's what Kelly and I are doing today. We're Sierra fishing. It's pretty darn good fishing down here. The weather's beautiful, 80 degrees already this morning. Flat glass calm. And I had a phenomenal trip up to the Lopez Mateo with Mark Rayer, Pete. We had just incredible grouper fishing for 3 days. It was insane.
Wow. How fun is that? And, of course, fishdope.com, they're at the show. They're at the Bardall Show today. Dan, Jeff, and I know Jason was there, and Ollie's there. And I have it on good authority that if you have a new you want a new membership to fishdope.com, you get $20 off just by telling them, hook up now. You listen to Let's Talk Hookup, and you want that $20 code, hook up now, at the show, at the Bardall show today. So how do we find you, Dave?
Your Saltwater Guide on social media, every social media platform, podcast every day at 12 o'clock. It's hard to not see me, Your Saltwater Guide. And then check out my website if you're tired of sucking at fishing. You can always go on my website. You'll never have to suck again, yoursaltwaterguide.com.
All right, Dave. Thanks a lot for that, and we will talk to you next Sunday.
All right, Pete. Thank you. Bye, guys.
All right. Very good. Hey, Ryan and Anza texted in a question. What's your favorite barracuda jig? And I, you know, this could be the year that barracuda come back.
My favorite barracuda jigs are like A1s.
Teddy A1?
Yeah, A1s. Yeah. Single hook, just so you can shake them off.
Okay.
You know? But, yeah, that style of lure, if, yeah, the W1, those two will work.
Yeah.
J-Pot, 7X Junior, and so on and so on.
Slightly smaller.
Slightly smaller.
But not small.
But not small. Now there are times, you know, especially, you know, we used to get that barracuda out here in, like, March and February and even into April, mm-hmm. out here on, you know, like, west of 3. And those things, big jigs. And cause, I mean, these were 8, 9, 10-pound fish.
Ooh.
That's big barracuda.
Gator guards, yeah.
Yeah.
And they will bite a big lure just like any other fish. But, you know, I think it's a little more consistent, a little more steady with smaller jigs.
Do you fish it differently than you would for a yellowtail?
Make the lure swim.
Just make it swim. Doesn't matter speed, nothing.
Nope. Calico bass, barracuda, bonito.
It's all the same.
Yellowtail, it's all the same. If the lure swims right, you get bites.
Yeah.
It's that plain and simple. And that's why you got to put your time in, you know.
That's cool. I dig it, man. That's good info. Hey, when we come back, we got a lot more Let's Talk Hookup and a lot more of your questions just like that. You stay tuned. You're listening to Let's Talk Hookup on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
It's coming soon. The most exciting sports show of the year. The all-new, bigger, and better 13th Annual Pacific Coast Sport Fishing Tackle Boat and Travel Show. March 2nd to the 5th at the OC Fairn Event Center in Costa Mesa. Check out hundreds of sport fishing exhibitors, manufacturers, tackle dealers, fishing boats, and fishing resorts taking up all seven buildings of the fairgrounds. 217,000 square feet. Plus seminars and a free kids trout pond. This year, the PCS show has added freshwater to cover bass and trout. Learn from some of the top names in the sport fishing industry, from catching giant bluefin, swordfish, calico bass, and more. Take advantage of incredible show specials from major tackle retailers and boat dealers. Talk to fishing travel destinations. Four full days, Thursday, March 2nd to Sunday, March 5th. The 13th Annual Pacific Coast Sport Fishing Tackle Boat and Travel Show at the OC Fairn Event Center in Costa Mesa. Don't miss it. When you want dependable service for your outboard or a new or used boat, your first choice should be H&H Marine at their new location, near where the 5 and 805 freeway meets. North County, Central, or South, the new H&H Marine is near you. They also have added an amazing lineup of boats for both fishing and pleasure cruising, like Barletta and Godfrey pontoon boats and Hurricane runabouts, all on display. Defiance fishing boats and many used boats are available too, along with Yamaha and Mercury outboard sales and service. Speaking of service, Jeff and his crew have you covered. As a factory-authorized Yamaha and Mercury Service Center, H&H Marine will be sure the job is done right. They have Blue Water Basic, both sails and expert installation, as well as Tackacat inflatables. The perfect center for your boat. For outboard sails and service, pontoon boats, fishing boats, and bait tank systems, check out H&H Marine at their new location, 10685 Roselle Street in San Diego. Check hhmarinesb.com.
Your vacation bucket list can't be completed without visiting the Katmai Lodge, Alaska this summer. A world-class wilderness fishing paradise on the banks of the famed Alaknak River. Get in the action fishing for all five species of Pacific salmon. King, sockeye, chum, coho, plus trophy-sized rainbow trout, Arctic grayling, and Dolly Varden, both in the Alaknak and nearby waters. Katmai Lodge's Coast Guard and CPR-certified guides are fly fishing fanatics and know how to help you reel them in, ensuring your days are fish-filled while you enjoy freshly prepared snacks and barbecued lunches on the river. Back at the lodge, enjoy fireside appetizers and refreshments each afternoon. Delicious dinner prepared by the lodge's exceptional chef. Take a quick fly-out trip to Brooks Falls and Katmai National Park for world-renowned bear watching. And check out our trout fishing specials at katmai.com. That's KATMAI.com. Katmai.com.
All of us at the American Angler family want to express appreciation to our regular passengers that fish with us year after year and to the new anglers that came out this last season. We realize how precious your vacation time is, and we are truly grateful that you have chosen to spend this time with us. It's important that your experience is memorable, from the moment you call the office to the time you step off the boat. Hi, I'm Lori. Call me at the office, 619-223-5414, or check us out at AmericanAnglersSportFishing.com. Come fishing with the American Angler family and make a memory.
Cookup, having a great time here this morning. So much killer info. If you like fishing the surface iron, man, this is a
really
this is the show
very
for you.
Educational.
Yeah. Very fun, for
getting,
sure.
Getting a lot from Danny and Brian, for sure. Hey, I want to remind you, be sure to tune in to Let's Talk Hookup next Saturday and Sunday, 7 to 9 a.m. Next Saturday, again, Bill DePriest and Mike Bond from the PCS show coming up here in the beginning of March there up at the Costa Mesa Fairgrounds there. And then Sunday, Sean and Melanie from Fisherman's Processing.
Yeah, that's going to
be
cool.
A fun show, yeah. Talking fish processing and all their spices and rubs. And Sean always has some hot tips along with Melanie about how to take care of your fish.
Yeah, fish care, the whole nine. That's gonna be that'll be a really good one.
That's gonna be a good show. I also want to remind you, of course, our Let's Talk Hookup app has just been fantastic. It's killing it. Tim Baker was telling me how many people responded to the Rollo rod thing that listened during the week. They basically use the app. And they take the recordings of the show, like this show will be up, thanks to Adam, right after the show. They just listen to the podcast on their way to work during the week and stuff. So very grateful for people to listen to that. But if you haven't downloaded our app, we have, I don't know, 17,000 people that have our app. So jump into it and get on the bandwagon, because it's been very, very successful for us. Yeah, very, very successful. Some great questions, great texts here. And, of course, you can only text via the Let's Talk.
Yeah, speaking of texting me, Let's Talk, I've had a great question from Josh in Oceanside. Says, good morning, gentlemen. I have a question for Danny. What is the biggest difference between the new DW2 surface iron and the original DW1? I have an old DW1 that has almost no paint left, which is saying something because the JRA paint jobs are very tough. This thing absolutely gets bit. I can't imagine a jig getting any better. Looking forward to that. That's from Josh in Oceanside.
It's just a smaller profile. You know, it's not that far off of what the DW1 is, but it's a smaller profile. Again, kind of set towards more of a half-day fisherman, if you will.
Mm-hmm. And you were talking about it working pretty well in La Jolla.
Oh, well, yeah. Oh, yeah.
They like that smaller profile.
Yeah, yeah.
I think the best thing you could say is it's just another really good option for a slightly smaller jig. And there's been we kind of talked about that in the beginning, so there's kind of a little bit of a lack in innovation and good swimming small lures, and it's just really nice to have another good option in the market.
The thing that I would do, and I'll probably get in trouble for this, but it's got a 3-0 hook on it. And in my opinion, it needs a 2-0 hook.
You like a little smaller hook.
A little smaller hook. It's not as big around. The wire is a little bit smaller.
Wait a minute. And this is a DW2. Why doesn't it have the hook that Danny Wade has?
I don't make them.
And Danny tweaks everything. You know what I mean? And I mean that in the best way. Like if... You know, like that 3-0 hook might be better for a guy that wants to, you know, grab a hold of it with his duck bills and shake a hook out of it. Maybe there's more longevity, so you see less issue. But Danny doesn't care about that. Danny wants peak performance always out of his lure, and that might mean cutting a hook off. Yes and no. I mean, you always want that, but you also have to have reliability. You know, I mean, you could make your car go as fast as humanly possible, but you have to rebuild the engine every other trip. Well, that doesn't work for all of us. If you're a mechanic, that's fine. If you're Danny, that's fine. But, you know, some guys you gotta mix longevity in with things also. Danny doesn't care about that.
Yeah.
Peak performance all the time, always.
I carry that whatever that hook cutter's called,
red handle tool.
I carry that with me religiously. I carry 2-0 and 3-0 hooks with me religiously.
And how do you put your hooks on?
This is something that everybody... You want to talk about another hot tip. So, I'm just going to say that right now to what Danny said.
Where the eye of the hook is.
Yeah.
You cut it at the base where it goes into the three prongs.
Okay.
You bend it out.
Okay.
Cut the hook off your jig because it's fouled up or something. And you put it back on the same way it came off. So when you take the jig... And you hold it by the ring, the two sides where the barbs come off the same side, it was not welded on the other side.
Okay.
Those have to lay down on the belly of your jig.
Okay.
If you just look at it, the way you took it off, put it back on the same way.
Meaning there's three prongs, so one side's going to have two flat, and one side's going to have one pointed up, and the one pointed up, it's specific as to, you know, what
it wants to be on the flat side or the round side.
The single hook will be on a flat side.
On a flat side.
But I do this because, again, a treble hook is somewhat like a rudder. When you foul it up, your boat don't go straight.
Yeah.
When you foul it up, your jig doesn't swim well.
So you're saying you cut at the base of that hook.
The eye.
And you bend it out and then put it right back on and bend it back on, and that's strong enough?
Yeah, I probably caught more yellowtail with that than most people ever catch in their life.
Oh, really?
So hard for me to see. I've watched him do it. I've seen Danny bring 1,000 lures into the shop. When he did, all cut at the base. They're bent open and bent closed again.
And what kind of wire cutter do you use? Because you can't just use...
We sell one in the store. It's made by a company called Swagit, and it's a red-handled hook cutter. Imagine a pair of bolt cutters that's smaller than a pair of dykes. You know, it's about that size.
It also comes in handy for, you know, somebody gets a hook on them.
Yeah.
I've used it for that, too. You know.
Something to have with you.
So it helps. Yeah,
you know how hard it is to cut? It's hard. It's hard to cut a good-sized hook with a pair of side cutters. It is. It's tough. These things melt through it like butter.
Yeah.
You know, we'll cut a 1,000 hooks a season, whatever. You know, like.
If you go back and look at Candy Bar in its early stages, when you bought a 112, a 110, or whatever candy bar, it had a pre-split hook.
Yeah.
You bought them, they got them from the factory that way, and they gave you another one.
Mustad used to sell that hook open eye. Like, it used to sell it just with it already open, with the idea that you would put it on there, you just bend it closed.
Yeah, you bend it closed.
I mean,
you can't pull and catch 100-pound tuna on this dumb thing. You can't pull hard enough to bend it open.
To bend it back. Yeah.
You know, you look at a high percentage of the hooks that we use. I mean, that's how they are. You know, the highest percentage of hooks that we're using, the eye's not welded shut.
Sure.
It's just bent. It's just bent closed. Yeah. And that hoop is so small. You know, if you had a really big loop, then you can start to make a little more leverage to get it open again. But the hoop is so small, there's just no leverage for you to get it open again. Danny showed me that forever ago, and I have trouble believing it.
Yeah, I'm
telling you,
around it.
This guy, it's what he does.
Right, Brian? Brian's laughing. It's true, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Seen him so many different times. Cutting him off, tying him on.
Yeah. Doesn't matter.
That's bouncing a fish, moving a fish, whatever. Danny's not a small guy. He pulls hard and it just doesn't open back up.
Well, let's jump into the phones, right?
That sounds good to me. How about this time we talk to Jim? He's calling us from National City this morning. Hi, Jim. Welcome to Let's Talk Hook Up.
Hey, good morning. Morning, guys. Morning, Danny. What's going on here today is, you know, Danny, way back when, in the late 60s, Dick Zachman ran that deal down in Imperial Beach. And I know you cut your teeth on that down there.
Definitely.
I think you fished a lot with Ray Rose's father. Jay Cox ran a boat down there. That's the boat I fished on. My buddy Danny Krakalisi, he was the deckhand. And anyway, that was a good place to cut your teeth on. But the one point I wanted to bring up, Danny, is there anything you picked up from, Ray Rose's dad or Jimmy Darlin? I know they were kind of your mentors. Any one or two things that you could pass on to us that we might want to know about fishing surface iron?
Biggest thing I could say would be Jim Darlin. That man was highly influenced on me, and I knew him for many, many, many years. I met him when I was like 12 years old, and for some reason he liked me, I know. But he taught me a thing on the city of Imperial Beach, and believe it or not, Chuck Taft was running a boat.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I was getting these yellowtail to chase my jig around, but they wouldn't bite it. And he came up next to me and says, I'm going to show you something. And he makes a cast right out beside me, and sure enough, wham, yellow, he watched the dumb thing come up and eat his jig. And he said, don't get mad, I'm going to tell you what's going on here. Puts a fish on the boat, he went down and got a beer for himself, got me a Pepsi, and he looks at me and says, you need to learn how to swim your jig. And that's stuck in my head ever since. And I preach it to this day. You can have the greatest swimming lure in the world, but if you don't make it swim, it still doesn't work.
How do you make it swim?
Good question. You got to learn to make it swim.
So you mean you're physically watching the lure, so making that pattern that you talked about? And
every lure you tie on, I don't care if it's Sandcast or CNC or whatever it is, none of them are exactly the same. Mm-hmm. So they're all a little different. And you got to figure out, you got to make it swim depending on the direction of the current. Are you coming down current? Are you winding up current? Are you fishing cross current? Are you using a CNC jig, which are very similar, but there are still differences?
Sure.
Are you, whatever it is that you're doing, if it's doing the same thing all the time, then you're not getting a bite. It's got to do something different.
Thus
that thing, what we talk about, the lure kicking out.
Buzz used to always talk about, like, you can feel if your lure is swimming right in the rod tip. You can feel it, like, bouncing or pulling against you because it's making that Z. It's kick, 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 kick. You know, and he said you could feel your rod tip doing that thump, 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 thump. And if you're winding too fast or too slow, it's not doing that. And he said you could know that it's doing right without ever seeing it because you could feel what your rod tip was doing.
I had a 45. That swam as good as any lure you'll ever see. For whatever reason, I couldn't get a bite on it.
Hmm.
I don't think I caught two or three fish on it in the course of a couple of years. I was with Ray Sobiak when he had the old producer, what became the Dolphin 2 and so on. And he would moan and groan about not having a jig that swam, so I gave it to him. He couldn't stop catching fish on it. And it's just the way it works.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Your cadence just wasn't right for it.
Something in what he was doing was different. Roy Rose, I got a kick out of Roy Rose. He was funny. Always had that bit of a cigar stuffed in the corner of his mouth. The old man, not Roy running the reel. But yeah, all those guys. I cut my teeth down there. And it was a wonderful experience. And we had some stupidly good fishing. You know, not that it's any different now back then. The fishing's all the same. But it was just fun, and it was such a learning experience with lots of guys that were down there.
All right, so here's a text question. Thanks a lot, Jim, for the call, by the way. Dan from Long Beach wants to know, hey, great show. How do you connect wire to your mono?
Through a small ring.
Okay, so you use one of the little rings and then a haywire twist to that ring and tie the ring to your monofilament.
Right. Learn how to do
it. And then when you connect to your 2 feet of wire to the jig, it's just a straight haywire twist?
It's a haywire. They're both haywires. Yeah. They're both the same coil.
All right.
You just got to learn how to do it. You know.
Do you use the tool or you just do it by hand?
My tools are right on the end of my
fingers. On the end of your fingers. But it's not bad to use the tool, right, if you don't know
Whatever works. You know, whatever works. I can wrap a piece of wire as fast as I can tie a San Diego knot.
Wow.
But I've been
doing
that.
That takes practice, though.
You know where I learned how to tie wire? On the back of a Penn catalog and the Jigmasters from back in the 60s.
Yeah.
They had, you had the catalog and the parts list and all that stuff. But on the very back page, it showed you how to tie a Bimini wire and a improved clinch.
Probably don't.
And I learned how to tie wire from looking at that thing.
Using the haywire twist. Wow. Hey, let's go ahead and jump in the phones, Rick.
That sounds good to me, man. They're packed solid. How about this time we talk to Brian? He's calling us from Wildemar this morning. What's up, Brian? Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Good morning, guys. How are you guys doing this morning?
What's up, Brian?
Today's question is it's a little bit off topic, but I'm going to ask a jig master how to fish a jig. How do you fish a chrome 6X Junior for bluefin?
Let it sink. And it's up to you whether you want to use a treble or a single hook. You know, everybody's got their own. But let it sink and, you know, wind it up 25 turns or so, give or take, and let it sink again. And do that over and over and over until you don't want to do it anymore. If they're on the bite and they're going to chew, they're going to bite it right away. You can even do that at night. You know, I don't care if it's chrome or not at night. You know, it can be passion purple and whatever, you know.
One of the things that this, like, new school of all this knife jig, nighttime vertical jig fishing has really got us dialed in on is having some way of knowing how much line has come on or off the reel and keeping your lure somewhere in the area that those fish are swimming in.
Very true. Very true. And it's having the patience to do it. You know?
Right.
I would, you know, for the average Joe, I would say the 6X Junior or lures similar to that and chrome are probably a better daytime thing than they are any other time. And especially during the daylight, you know, those bluefin like a little presentation at times. They get on that, you know, it doesn't have to be that big 6H 10-inch jig, 6X Junior or whatever, you know, pick one. And they get on that little lure, and half the time they bite it when it sinks.
Okay.
That's cool.
Good tips.
Yeah, good.
Hey, let's jump back on the phone. Some very patient calls.
No doubt about that. Rick and Chula Vista have been hanging in there a long time with us. Rick, good morning. Thanks for hanging in there.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for the show. It's actually perfect timing because at the Bart Hall show yesterday, I got myself a new 9-foot jig stick with a Tranks 500.
Nice.
Earlier today, you were talking a little bit about spooling up, and you had mentioned braid, mono, top shot. If you go with braid, what length and type, either mono or I just lost the name of it.
Spectra.
Either mono power or what kind of top shot and how long? Power quote, thank you.
However far you can cast, give yourself another 30 or 40 yards.
Even with a Tranks 500?
I don't care what reel it is.
What it is.
The reel has little to do with your casting ability. Whatever kind of reel, I don't care if it's a spinning reel, whatever kind of reel you are using, figure out how far you can, and then take another 30 or 40 yards off of that. For any of a number of different reasons, you know, every time you change your lure, you lose a foot.
Yeah.
It doesn't take very long to lose, you know, 10, 12.
Yeah.
You know, and you don't want to cast your knot off.
No.
Yeah. You know, so.
Or even have it poking up from the last few wraps.
Right.
You want to keep that
right.
thing buried with a few revolutions.
Yeah. So, you know, if you did, you know, even if you did 40 and 50 yards, you know, you'll be okay. You know, I use that RP knot. It's easy, it's simple, and I've never had an issue with it.
For Danny and Danny's type of fishing, the Spectra is just there so that you're not having to replace 100% of your mono every time. You know, with the exception of maybe a bluefin or something like that, you're not nervous. You're not going to get fooled. You might get rocked. You might get sea lion. You might get types of other things. But he's not going to take all your line. You know, you hook a yellowtail, he's not going to swim until the spool runs out and goes away. He's going to swim down into a rock or a piece of kelp and break you off. So, you know, the advantage is that is what we were talking about earlier. When the line did get kinked up a couple of times and you go to change it, now you're only having to change 100 yards instead of having to change 300 yards
right.
of it.
You know, before the Spectra phenomenon came in, we were top-shotting, you know, our jig rods anyway, you know.
But there was
just whatever the monofilament is. You know,
what was left?
There was no reason to take all of it off.
Yeah.
It's just a filler for what you're trying to do.
There you go. Hey, thanks a lot for the call. Let's go ahead and you had a good text.
I did, yeah. We got enough time for this one. It says, great show, Danny. In the past, I've noticed the nose on some surface irons are more flat, some are beveled, some are round, some are smooth, and some are pointed. I've experienced better actions for myself with the ones that have a beveled, pointy nose. Can you please bring some light onto the front of lures? That's from Uncle Mike T. in Huntington Beach.
Yeah, that's a good question.
I think that only really comes into effect more so on the tatty stuff. Candy bars are all square nose, blunt nose. These lures that Matt Brawl and his buddy have come up with are same thing, square nose. Salus's Baby 5X has a square nose. 45s have different.
They vary.
Yeah, yeah.
And some could come to a drawn out point, and some perfectly flat.
Yeah, and part of that's how the guy when they grind them. The process is all different now, but at one point in time there were 9 different 45s on a pattern board. 5 had round nose and 4 had a somewhat pointy nose, and that all depends on how when they put them on a grinder. I think that maybe and possibly the pointed nose is a little more diversified. It will swim much better in more conditions,
mm-hmm.
but either of them will work.
Sure. You can have a good flat nose 45 and a good pointed
nose 45. I've got some 45s that are, you know, whether it be blunt, flat, whatever you want to call it. I got 45s that don't have a scoop in the back. They're a flat back. And they work just as good as any other.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a little, you know, people get a little off about, that it's more in the hips and the shapes and and what's coming down the side of the jig than what's on the very end of the jig.
All right. All right. Great. Great way to answer. Hey, when we come back, we're going to find out who's got themselves a $300 pair of Costas. You stay tuned. More Let's Talk Hookup coming your way on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio and the Let's Talk Hookup app.
Hey, guys. This is Ali Husseini from Local Knowledge and BD Outdoors. I'm a lucky guy in so many ways, and one thing I'm really grateful for is my little brother, Yosef. Yosef is not only a fellow angler, but he's also an amazing realtor that specializes in helping us in the angling community find the ultimate home. If you own a home, get a free no-obligation evaluation online now by typing in SoCalHomeEval.com. That's SoCalHomeEval.com. All you do is put in your address, and you'll get a home value report immediately sent to your email. No pressure, no obligations, just answers. Yosef is the SoCal real estate go-to guy. He's helped me and so many of my fellow fishing buddies find what they're looking for in a home. He knows anglers, and he understands the real estate market. Not only that, but he's also a really nice guy. How many brothers can you say that about? Go to SoCalHomeEval.com and find out where you stand in the real estate market, and then get with Yosef and find your ultimate home. Again, go to SoCalHomeEval.com, and we'll see you on the water.
The PCS show is coming, and we will have our first ever booth at the show. Hi, this is Doug Kern from Fisherman's Landing Tackle. Check us out in the all-new saltwater building at the PCS show in Costa Mesa, where we will have some amazing deals for you on rods, reels, lures, and clothing. Everything at the Fisherman's Landing Tackle booth will be on sale. And as always, our expert staff will help you select that perfect setup for the fish you want to pursue. For saltwater tackle at the PCS show, your best stop is the Fisherman's Landing Tackle Booth.
It's not just hooks that make anglers wild about Gamakatsu. The finest split and solid rings are also made by Gamakatsu. If you're looking for quality swivels, yep, Gamakatsu makes the best. And when it comes to assist hooks, Gamakatsu has you covered there too, with a wide assortment of sizes and types. Those Gamakatsu fishing wires and boxes are also a huge hit with anglers. The best hooks, swivels, split rings, and more are made by Gamakatsu. Get them at your local shop or Gamakatsu.com. Cass Tours is a family-owned and operated travel company that specializes in taking you to great fishing destinations. They take pride in providing the best and most affordable vacation packages available. Cass Tours has been creating unique sport fishing and vacation trips for decades. Whether it's a fishing trip or a family vacation, they will provide you the service and value you deserve. Call Cass Tours at 800-593-6510 or check CassTours.com.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. All right, it's time. We're going to find out whether our winner is a caller, a texter today, and Danny's going to do us the honors for our Costa Del Mar gift certificate. All right, go do it to it, Danny. All right. And we have a caller today. Congratulations, Brian. You got the big winner of the Costa Del Mar sunglasses. Stoked for you, man. You are going to absolutely love...
Ryan,
you are with, you got yourself a $300 certificate to CostaDelMar.com. Congratulations, yeah. Buddy.
Congratulations. And Danny, great time. If somebody wants more knowledge, pick your brain. I know we find you on the bow of the Malahini, but how else do we find it?
Well, you can find me at H&M Landing in that little tackle shop.
Selling lures.
Come on by, you know. I can be kind of grumpy, but if you're patient, I'll help you out.
Yeah.
That's the best description of Danny Wade I've ever heard.
Yeah. And Brian, of course, you'll be following Danny and see you on the bow of the boat, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, thanks for joining us this morning.
Really fun, you guys.
Yeah. Thanks to JP for all he does on the phones and on the board there. Appreciate all that he does. And, of course, thanks to Adam for all he does on the Let's Talk Hookup app. If you haven't downloaded our Let's Talk Hookup app, you're really missing out. So make sure you download that. It's a free download and a lot of fun to use and listen to past archives. We've got archives in there from a year ago and more or more. So check it out, the Let's Talk Hookup app, either the App Store or the Google Play Store. Easy to do. And next Saturday, we're going to have Bill DePriest and Mike Bond from the PCS show, the big show coming up at the beginning of March there up in Costa Mesa. They'll be talking all about that amazing show coming up. And then next Sunday, Sean and Melanie from Fisherman's Processing will be talking fish processing. caring for your fish, all the spices and rubs that they do, and a whole lot more. Always an interesting show with Sean and Melanie. And of course, thanks for listening today. Thanks to all of you out there for participating in our texts, our calls, and everything else. And we sure appreciate all your support. And we'll see you next week right back here on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio and the Let's Talk Hookup.